This is the Shirt Factory Center Stage. Jim Hoffer and Kim Schaller take you behind the scenes. It's conversations with musicians and artists who are performing right here at the Lidded Shirt Factory.
It's a place where people can really get together and have great sound, great music, and great beer.
We have Collusion Tapworks Brew Pub on the first floor and the Shirt Factory live music venue upstairs.
A great music vibe.
I love the intimacy of it.
Being with friends who like the things that you like really good music.
This is the Shirt Factory Center Stage. Let's go.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, what's up?
What do you mean, what's up?
Well, nothing. How are you?
Oh, I'm great.
Good.
Couldn't be better, actually.
Oh, good. Okay.
You know one of the reasons why I'm...
Why?
...so excited?
Why?
Because of the guest that we have.
Oh, I know.
On this episode.
Here we go. This is the best ever.
Yeah.
Who do we have?
Well, we have Salt Hill. And you were there for St. Patrick's
Day.
Oh,
my gosh.
At the Shirt Factory.
Fantastic.
Yep. I mean, I have to really say, that's some of the most fun I've ever had on a St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I mean, they were just really, really good.
Yeah. Who are they, Jim? Who are we talking about?
I already said.
I know
Salt Hill.
But who are we going to be talking to?
Well, we're going to be talking to the lead vocal and guitarist, Sean Gallagher.
Sean! Uh-huh.
I mean, there's an Irish name, right?
Irish?
Sean Gallagher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sean Gallagher.
And also the fiddle player.
Mike. We can't pronounce his last name.
He's Croatian.
I can't pronounce his last name.
I can pronounce his last name. It is Ferjanic.
Okay, that's right. The I-C-H at the end. Mm-hmm. Ferjanic. Yeah, so they're coming up.
But first. Yeah, how's your week going?
It's good. But I think we should talk about the weird things that you do in the morning.
What do you mean the weird things I do in the morning?
That you were telling me
about. I mean, I do my stretches.
Routine. No.
Every morning I got to do.
It's something you watch on TV in the morning.
Oh, well, I don't think it's weird.
I do. Tell everybody.
I think it's endearing.
It's not. It's weird. You're 62 years old. What do you do in the morning?
After I watch the news, right. I need a little bit of escapism, and I watch an episode of Leave It to Beaver.
Leave It to Beaver. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. June, Ward, Wally.
Yeah.
The Beave.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
It's...
And I think that in itself is kind of strange, but maybe it is endearing. But would you please share with everybody what you did in terms of social media messaging?
Well, I mean, I might... Yes. I mean, this may be going in too far. Maybe it's a bit
of an obsession.
It's demonstrative of the weirdness. Yeah, because, you know, really? I don't really do Facebook, hardly at all. And I only do Instagram for my business mostly.
Right.
But I found myself after an episode earlier this week where the Beave got in trouble because he made a face during the school class photograph, and the principal had to call home.
Okay.
The principal gets June on the phone.
Uh-huh.
And June is like, "What's wrong? What did Beave do?" And
Theodore.
The principal, yeah, Theodore. The principal mm-hmm. says, "Well, I'm sorry, we have to wait until Ward calls in because mm-hmm. we can't tell you, June, what your son did."
Mm-hmm. Can't tell the mom, must tell the father.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was just like, wow, even for the 60s, that's really,
God.
I mean, that is really inequality.
Right. At its finest.
That is kind of.
So you couldn't just watch that and go, oh, that's weird.
I went to the Beave. I went to the Leave It to Beaver fan club on Facebook mm-hmm. and I had to comment.
Other people were commenting. This is weird.
But other people were commenting because I was like, I mean, I was really shocked. I mean, even for the 60s, I thought this was crazy.
Right.
This was, I mean, this
and
was
so
really treating the woman like a third class citizen.
Speech and went and shared that you don't agree with that.
Well, yeah. And most people were saying that, most people were saying, well, that's the way it was back then. And
right.
I thought, no, this seemed even harsh for back then. I mean, come on.
Okay, that's
anyway. It's just too
anyway.
Weird.
I just find
weird.
It fascinating that you. This is who we're dealing with.
Well, I'm glad you don't have any weird habits.
No, I don't.
No,
I don't. Hey, mm-mm. How about any shout outs or pet peeves, anything like that from you?
Well, yeah. I mean, here we are right now recording this episode at one of my favorite new places.
Okay.
Called the Candy Factory. That's where we are right now.
In downtown Lancaster.
We're at a studio in the Candy Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And the Candy Factory is, and it's just, I just think one of the coolest places in Lancaster. I didn't even know it existed, but it's like a shared work environment.
Co-working space
in this great brick building that was once a former warehouse, 6 stories tall, each floor with these incredible well-lit nooks and crannies. Where
to
you
actually
can study
work. Yes.
And on the 6th floor is like a community room.
Social club, kind of.
A social club.
Yeah, right.
And you and I actually went to an event.
Yeah, we went to a wine tasting last week.
Wine tasting.
There's a whiskey tasting tonight. It is beautiful. And Ann Kirby has just done an amazing job putting this together.
And Jason, yeah.
Yeah, and Jason. They are fantastic people, and we love it. So that's a perfect shout out.
I think it really is. And you know, it's not that we need to have a space, a shared workspace. I mean, you and I both have pretty nice condos where we can do our
work
sufficiently.
But I don't do
work.
I'm terrible working. Exactly. I'm not disciplined. So it's in here and I actually work.
It's great to have a change up, sort of. You know, just a different environment sometimes can put me in the mood to really settle down and concentrate and focus on things.
Oh, nice. Okay,
yeah. And it's a great place to do it. I really urge anyone who's listening.
Look into it and become a member, because it's really, really cool. We've met some really nice people. Yeah. So good. So thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into the podcast.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's welcome to Shirt Factory Center Stage, Sean Gallagher and Mike Ferjanik. No,
Ferjanik.
I knew I'd screw it up. Ferjanik. Guys, welcome.
Thanks.
It's great to see you. Just sitting here versus up on stage, just dazzling the crowd.
Why, thanks.
Which you truly did.
It was a great time. And seeing you in the back of the room smiling and encouraging us is certainly great.
But you know, I booked your band, Salt Hill, because it was St. Patrick's and I wanted a kick-ass Irish band.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get a kick-ass Irish band. I mean, it was a blast. You guys really brought it. It was really fun. Everyone had a really good time. The music was great, but it wasn't just Irish.
Right, yeah. You know, we certainly turn on the Irish thing around St. Paddy's Day because that's what people expect. But we have, whether or not you realize, probably about a third of the set was original music that was ours. We're coming from a bunch of different musical traditions. I'm still a child of the 80s. I spent a lot of time going to Ireland in the 90s, sort of vibing on the pub scene there. When I landed back here, I would say the core of the band really started around the dispensing company scene, and in the 90s. And I had been playing with a couple guitarists, some flat pickers, blues-oriented guitarists, Angelo Meliseca, who professionally goes by the name Angelo M, and another fellow, Andy Miller. And we were playing at the Dispensing Company, kind of a very wooden, folksy kind of music that was different at the time. I met Mike through Angelo, and Mike's coming from the Croatian community in Steelton, and they've got a fabulous music scene there. So my inclinations, my leanings toward Irish music kind of really clicked with what Mike was bringing with the fiddle, because he could do the Irish stuff, but it wasn't Irish. And then I'll round out the band here. Our two members who aren't here, Carl Greathouse does his own music. He was a pioneer rocker in the Lancaster scene with a band called I Wish I. And then Steve Schwartz is another one who's well-connected with, he's played with a number of rock bands. But we're coming from all kinds of different angles, so I don't think you can distill the four of us into a single Irish sound.
And Mike, you play the fiddle. Tell me a little bit about how that came about and how you perceive Salt Hill.
Well, my mom taught me to play the violin. She was classically trained. I think she played in Dickinson for a while and got back into it after kids got grown up enough, and she taught me to play. And in our house, my parents had a band. So in our house, we listened to all kind of music, especially Eastern European music. My mom loved Hungarian music, and so she, you know, played a lot of Hungarian songs. And Steelton has a large community of ethnic people. Well, it did. Now they're out in the suburbs. But back in the day, you know, you had Serbs come to your dances, Croatians, as I said, Hungarians. I happen to be Croatian. I'm in a band that is, we do a lot of Eastern European folk music. And as he said, we travel around the country. And then I'm in another band that does more Croatian than anything else on traditional instruments.
So wait, you're in three bands?
Yeah, keeps me busy.
It does keep
you
busy.
How do you make sure he's going to be available for your bookings? That's
you just book ahead.
You just book out. But anyways, I'm heavily influenced by Eastern European music, and if you listen to Salt Hill, sometimes you can hear me putting in the, you know, Turkish scales and stuff like that. So it kind of mixes really good with the, you know, like if I'm playing a reel, an Irish reel, I'll go away from that and then just freestyle for a while and then come back to the reel, and it seems to work pretty good. So
yeah. Can you just give me a little basic difference between the violin and the fiddle?
Nobody cares if you spill beer on the fiddle. The term has been interchangeable since like the 1600s, you know, because it comes from a French term, vielle.
Okay.
So fiddle, vielle, it's kind of similar.
So how was playing at Shirt Factory?
It was fabulous.
I mean, just that felt like.
Well, Steve, our drummer, works up that way, and he was chomping at the bit, and he said, we got to get into collusion. And we met for beers one afternoon and looked around. It was like a, you know, like a Tuesday afternoon when nobody was around, and Steve's like, come on upstairs. You got to see upstairs. And once I saw that upstairs room, I was, wow, this is fabulous. And
yeah,
I probably emailed you the next day.
Yeah, like, I think you did.
Dear Mr. Hoffer, please. I've been playing in the local scene for so long. That's something that has kind of spoiled us. And I think I remember hearing when you interviewed the Inca Campers, they made a nod to the same thing. Now we have the benefit, we musicians have the benefit of walking into places that are ready for bands. That was not always that way. You know, there's a house system at McCleary's. There's of course there's house systems at the clubs, at the Tellus and the Chameleons of the world. There were always house systems. But in the smaller places, like a place Collusion size, it wouldn't typically have a sound system. So when you walk into a place like that and you see that the owners are band ready, you get a feel for how much the staff appreciates music and is ready for you, as opposed to setting your own speakers up and hoping that your buddy who kind of can competently run a soundboard is available on that night. It was very DIY back then. Walk into a place that's so aesthetically impressive, and they have a house system and they have a professional at the board waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to focus on the music. It takes so much of the stress off of the.
Jim, that night with Rachel, the bartender there, getting out on the floor and dancing, doing her Irish dancing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was a full immersion from everybody that was there. Yeah. So,
oh man, she's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, she's just the star of most nights,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
Second to the band maybe, but
when the staff are music fans, that helps, especially on those nights when not many people are out. You can count on the staff to have your back.
To participate. Hey, you're listening to the Shirt Factory Center Stage Podcast with Kim and Jim.
I think you mean, Jim and Kim.
No, I mean Kim and Jim.
What's the secret to Salt Hill? I mean, I know, you know, we had talked in a past podcast to Inca Campers, who've been around forever, but Salt Hill has been together for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Probably 12 years, I would guess. Yeah, so we're a 2000s phenomenon.
Yeah.
Okay.
We like each other. We don't overbook. It's never work for us. It's never, another show. We keep a very, you know, again, Carl Greathouse, the bass player, is a phenomenal guitarist, and he is also a disciplined musician. And Carl keeps us on a very regular practice schedule. We, you know, at least once a month, and practice is very, I won't call it formal, but it's serious. We're going to get something done. We're going to have fun. We're going to spend a lot of time yammering, but we're also going to get something done. So we're always, I feel like we're always gig ready, which makes performing fun. As you noticed at the end of the set Thursday night, you were talking about playing songs like, we closed with Van Morrison's Sweet Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And songs like that give you a lot of space where you can play a song and then you pass the ball from person to person. We really enjoy doing that. And the four of us click pretty well doing something like that. And
yeah, it sounds like it never gets boring.
Everybody writes the song together, I would say.
So obviously, music is a big part of both of your lives, but you have other lives outside of music. So tell us about your kind of your day jobs.
I'm a professor in the psychology department at Millersville.
This is hysterical.
No, I mean, you're underselling it. First of all, you are Dr. Sean Gallagher.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Doctor. And your doctorate is in neuroscience.
Correct. Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Which is just crazy.
Which is, yes, that's really impressive. Yes. You're the big brain. You're the big brain guy.
Does that job as professor of psychology, does that inform your music, or does the music inform your job as a professor, or is it both?
The fundamental job is entertaining a room full of people an hour at a time. It's teaching is very performance oriented. You have to have a certain lack of self consciousness, a willingness to make a fool of yourself to make a point, and my students respond to that well. So it's not a big paradigm shift from the classroom to the stage, and I enjoy what I teach. I love telling the stories that I tell in the classroom, and I love telling the stories that we tell on stage.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been teaching?
I'm wrapping up 19 years
at
Millersville. I got my graduate degrees at the University of Delaware. They threw me into the classroom as a graduate student there too, so it's
So you've been teaching students, college-age students, almost for two decades now.
Yeah, even more. Yeah.
Is there any notable difference between students when you first started and the students you teach today?
They don't seem to be as interested in forming bands.
Really?
I talk to them about their musical interests, which makes me feel fortunate to be at Millersville, because Greg Barley has created the Millersville miracle in Phantom Power, and Millersville has a major dedicated to, I'm sorry, Barry, I'm going to ruin it. It's music production, but teaching students the arts of the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
So the students who are interested in performing and getting into the music scene not only have the educational opportunities at Millersville, but they also have a performance outlet right down the road at Phantom Power,
which is a great
venue. And if you knew the Skinny Mini before Greg got his hands on it, it's tremendous. So I see that, but I just don't see the live music interest from the performing end or the consumption end that I used to.
So, Mike, your day job, which if you would have asked me to pick it, I would have never guessed this. So what do you do during the day?
I'm a CPA.
I'm sorry about laughing. It's not funny.
I do the accounting work for a nonprofit up in Harrisburg part-time, and then I have a shingle of my own up on Hearst Street in Harrisburg, if that means anything to you. So,
where did you go to school?
Penn State.
Oh, yay!
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I didn't know that.
Harrisburg.
Penn
State, too?
Undergrad.
No, you're
undergrad.
And then you went to Delaware for your grad.
Yeah, we got Temple here, Penn State. Good
job. I'm outnumbered, 3-1.
Yeah. So similarities between music and accounting. I mean, honestly, the numbers, the notes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Really?
Music's all math. Yeah.
Explain.
Yeah. It's based on what the human ear can hear. It's called the well-tempered scale, which is basically 12 notes in between octaves. There's a rhythm, you're counting constantly, and you kind of feel it. And when I'm working on numbers, I can kind of feel when they're wrong as an accountant. You know what I mean? Just like you can tell when somebody's screwing the song up.
Right.
You feel it.
That's interesting.
You know, you cringe. You go, oh my God, what did he just do? You know, oh my God, what did I just do? Sean will make faces at me sometimes.
Oh, he gives you a look, the Sean look.
Yeah, and sometimes it's really confusing because he'll look over and smile, and it might mean good.
Oh, come on.
And it might mean not so good. But yeah, I think there's definitely a feel for numbers in music.
Maybe it is that music is almost applicable to any part of life.
Mm-hmm.
What do they say? It's the universal language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's direct line to your emotions, even if you don't understand the words.
True. Even if you don't understand why it's happening, you can see it happen in front of your eyes. I mean, I've played rest homes where
Alzheimer's units.
Literally going to die soon, and they're just hunched over in their chair, and if I play them what we call a kolo, which is a type of Eastern European dance, you can see their feet start. You know, they're not dancing around the room, but you can see them going along like to the music.
Right.
I played Sunday. There was a little girl at this one event, and she's very special needs, you know. But when you start playing music, she knows the steps. She gets out there, but you can't, you know, otherwise connect with her. You know what I mean? But music can do that. It never ceases to amaze me how powerful it is. It's your legend now.
So do you feel the physical, do you feel more weary after you perform now than you used to 20 years ago?
I take an ibuprofen in advance.
Seriously, you do?
Seriously, yeah, yeah. You feel, you know, thank heavens as a guitarist, the arthritis has not set in, but there are times where you know, I'll finish a night and I'll see my fingers swelling and think, I'm 54. But we still... when we play, we'll power through 2.5 hours, sometimes straight. And
you're moving.
So it's the euphoria of the gig. And you look out and you see the audience having fun, and we look at each other and we go, okay, we have a scheduled break, but if we take a break, if we lose 10% of the crowd, that break was not worth it.
Yeah, you lose that momentum
we're gonna push through. Yeah.
Plus I just think if you're not completely exhausted after the show, you didn't do it right. Yeah. You know, you didn't do it right.
Nice. But it must be hard, though, to deliver like that, to have that bar set so high, if you're not feeling it from the audience, if it's not coming back to you.
Which gets back to the staff. If you know the staff has your back, and you know the staff is, you know, because there will be nights where people just shrug and say, it's an off night. Unfortunately, we haven't had much of that. But if we have two people who are excited about what we're doing, That's all you need.
And I can say this, and I say this to each band: if they can stand still while we're playing, we're not doing something right. Mm-hmm. We're not doing our job. If I'm not having an effect, I'm not happy. So
right.
And it's not an attention thing. You know, I don't do this for attention. I do it because I love music, and I'm just the type of person that likes to play for people. So
right, performance. Yeah. That's it. It lights you up. Well, I say just keep doing it as long as you guys can, because you truly were. I think, Jim, you need to secure them for every single
Saint Patty's Day. I was just going to say that. Well, I need that on recorded here.
That's fine.
Are you committed to next Saint Patrick's
right here
Day?
On the record. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's great.
Get everybody out. But thanks so much for coming, both of you.
Yes.
We really appreciate
it. Thanks for having
us. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, you were great. Guys.
Can I give a plug? We're going to be
at
the Gary Owen in Gettysburg on the 30th. It is a fabulous Irish pub, again, with a very appreciative crowd. Ann Gallagher, no relation to me, has curated a wonderful music scene at that place. So if you are from parts west, come check us out there. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Good. Really appreciate
so much.
It.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Wow, Sean and Mike.
I know. They were great. That was really cool. That was good.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. I am really excited about some of this stuff that you have coming up here.
April is a really busy month. And the first Friday in April, which is April 1st, we have a group which is somewhat local from central Pennsylvania. I mean, they've done tours and gigs all up and down the East Coast. The group is called The Wild Hymns, with Megan Woodland. She is their main vocalist, songwriter. They do a lot of original work. I would say kind of folk, alternative rock, indie. I mean, they're really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I'm quite excited about their performance on the center stage. And that'll be Friday, April 1st. And then on Saturday, April 9th, I have a magician.
Oh, my God.
I'm not talking about pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Right.
Magician. This guy is a master magician, and that means something in the magic world.
Right.
He's internationally acclaimed.
And you saw him in New York, right?
I saw him in New York. That's where I discovered him.
No, to really bring some magic here.
I did. And that was another sort of goal of mine. I said, I'm going to bring Chris Capehart to Lititz because I want people to see this. And, you know, it's funny because I had a friend who's into magic, and I wasn't back then. At least I didn't think I was. And he said, oh, let's go. You got to go see Chris Capehart. We're going to go down to Greenwich Village. And I was like, oh, please don't. I mean, what next? Mimes? I mean, but I went.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away by Chris Capehart. I mean, he's an incredible showman, and his magic is, it's inexplicable. Yeah. I have no idea
how he does the tricks that he does.
Okay. That's Saturday, April 9th. Okay. Really excited about that. And by the way, I should mention too that the last Saturday in April, guess who's coming back to the Shirt Factory? Francois Wyss.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, nice.
He's one of our favorite, and I think this is his third time back.
This will be his
third
time. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
And that's top notch live.
Right.
Music.
Just amazing live music.
Yeah.
To just sit and. Yeah. Enjoy. Okay, so that's April. And then I know you've got some stuff coming up in May, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah, I mean, there's Bonnie Raitt, Elton John, U2. I mean, name it.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk about that in another episode.
We don't want to spoil it. It's a surprise.
Say goodbye, Kim.
Goodbye, Jim.
So long, everyone.
Hey, while you're thinking about it, go to where you get your podcasts, subscribe, and give us a review.
Visit our website, lititzshirtfactory.com, to join our mailing list.
You'll get updates, event information, and lots of cool stuff. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at lititzshirtfactory.
And don't forget, come to have a beer and a bite at Collusion Tap Works.
Located right here at the Lititz Shirt Factory, 5 Juniper Lane in Lititz.